We're back on the air. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and our message of entrepreneurship is going worldwide. And I want to thank our hosts all week, our friends over at Gray, Gray & Gray on Royal Street in Canton, Mass., spectacular office, and to my right, our reporter and also partner at the firm, Rich Hershen. Thanks, Rich.
My pleasure, Jeffrey. Good to have you here.
Yeah, it's always fun to hang out with Rich. He's a good straight man for me. You are, aren't you?
I try to keep it straight.
I put my foot in my mouth. You try not to
Take it out.
Right, and you never want to put your foot
in
your
mouth. We work well together.
Right, so it worked perfectly. You know, our next guest, we had a nice little introduction. You were quite polite letting us talk. Matt Robinson from JewishBoston.com. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I'm sure there's a lot more than just JewishBoston.com you're associated with, but what is Jewish Boston?
Jewish Boston is a new website. I'm actually just a contributor, so I can't represent myself as a representative thereof, but it's a new community-based website that has news and events and just ways to engage the Jewish community in Greater Boston. It's affiliated with Combined Jewish Philanthropies. And for the past month or so, I've been doing a weekly column on Jewish entrepreneurs, and it's really starting to take off. I've gotten a lot of great response for it, and always happy to help promote other people in the space.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we should be connecting you with that segment of our entrepreneurs that we have on the show, because we can give you a flow of people that you can re-promote.
I'd be happy to have it. Be
right.
Honored.
Yeah, right. We should incorporate that in.
Right. We should right now.
Right. There you go. we'll do that after we go off air.
What demographic is Jewish Boston?
It's primarily meant to engage the younger audience, so people who may not be affiliated, may not have families yet, things of that sort. I'm kind of just on the far side of that. I have two, three and a half year old girls at home, but it's still I worked in the Jewish community a lot, and I've been a journalist for 20 years, so it seemed like a real sweet spot for me.
This might seem rhetorical in this group, but what makes the Jewish community for entrepreneurship unique?
Well, I first started a column like this about 12 years ago. I was an editor at the Jewish Advocate, and I had a column that was about the Israeli companies that had offices or satellites here in Boston. And I think there's that, there's the intellectual capital, the desire to kind of, especially now with the BDS movement, I think there's a great desire to kind of show that there's a lot of positivity coming out of the community and out of Israel, and just that it's not what people may hear. And that there are a lot of great benefits. I was just reading there's an Israeli company now that's really on the forefront of driverless automobiles. And that's going to be apparently hard to avoid. I mean, we're becoming the Jetsons sooner than we thought we might. But
the sooner the better when it comes to my daughter.
Yeah, a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
So
give us a little bit of your history. How did you evolve into this this role, and what other roles do you have?
I started in radio when I was in college, and then when I graduated, I couldn't get an on-air job in Boston because it's such a competitive market. So I started writing about music while being a paralegal at one of the big firms in Boston. And
none of those points relate. So this is
right.
Good.
Well, that's kind of that. None of my points relate. So basically, after being out till 2 every morning writing about music and then falling asleep at the office, I had to sit down with my dad, who was a lawyer, and he actually told me not to go into law because the field had changed so much from when he went in. And it was a startling moment in my life. I still can remember what I was wearing that day. It was at Johnny D's, the late, great Johnny D's in Somerville. I started writing full-time and interned at some record labels doing PR. And it just kind of evolved from there due to diversity of interest and also, at times, admittedly, financial necessity. And it'll be 20 years October. I've written about 4,000 pieces on pretty much every topic imaginable. And I've also done PR website copy for separate clients. I don't get paid for by the client to do editorial. I've kept that line pretty clean. But I've basically, my business card says if it can be written, I've probably done it. And that's really what it comes down to. It's just, it's always on the hustle, always looking for the next idea.
So you're not just you're a hunter and a farmer. You're hunting down the business and you're doing it yourself and living off of it.
Right. And then at the same time, I've also been teaching writing.
So before Rich jumps in with his question, what does your father say now about you?
Well, unfortunately, my father passed 2 years ago.
I'm
But he really got on board. When I was young, he used to always send me Nat Hentoff's articles from the Wall Street Journal because I loved him and I loved jazz. And then the big moment came about 4 or 5 years into my career. He actually sent me one of my own articles. And I was like, he really got it and really got, you know, it took a long time for all of my family. Like, you know, why are you out till 2 a.m? It's like, because that's my job. It's not traditional, but I love it. And, you know, I've had momentary regrets. A lot of my friends are lawyers and doctors and finance people. And, you know, they seem to have a happy life. But I've had experiences that I could never get anywhere else. And it's, you know, there's been some hard times where someone doesn't pay me or the assignments aren't coming in. But I just, you know, fall down 7, get up 8, and just keep on hustling. That's really what it is.
It's a great attitude.
It's been fun.
You're a real entrepreneur.
I try to be.
I guess there's 3 entrepreneurs in the
room. Yeah, there we go. We're multiplying.
And that maybe is the answer to my question I was asked, because now your focus at JewishBoston.com is on towards the entrepreneurs and that community. And I was curious what drew you into that community and why that's the focus of your
I feel kind of like kindred spirits. I feel, you know, there's so many better mousetraps out there that aren't getting attention.
Is it like J-Date for entrepreneurs?
Kind of. No. Yeah, I mean, I've just been going out to events and seminars and saying, you know, I have this platform available. And like I said, it's only been around a month and the response has been great.
I like it because J-Date actually has a big international following.
Sure.
Have you been to Israel?
Years, way too long ago, but yes. And I have a lot of friends there. And every time I keep planning to go, you know, some other assignment would come. And, you know, unfortunately, business has to take the priority. That's been the one hard part about being an entrepreneur is sometimes my time isn't my own. Even when I travel for pleasure, I'm usually writing something.
But do you tend to be followed mostly, I think Rich was asking this, by millennials?
I think so. I mean, that's the most of the people who have said, I've seen the site and I'd like to be profiled have been students, recent graduates, MBA students, things of that nature. So I think I'm hitting the spot that they wanted me to hit.
And as your column, you mentioned companies from Israel, and you've worked with several of them, and certainly Israel is a great leader in technology, and you see a lot of companies over there. Are people from Israel reading the column?
I think so. I haven't really gotten a direct response from them, but, you know, the consulate has checked in and said they're interested in working with me, and mostly for this column, because it's Jewish Boston, the subjects are from Greater Boston or Massachusetts. But a lot of them were born in Israel or have ties to Israel. So I think as it takes off, hopefully it'll expand.
Not the Jewish part, but Jewish Boston, is that too limiting a name?
Potentially. I mean, you know, I think
is
that
it Jewish America?
Well, I think because
it's
affiliated with CJP, which is in Boston, I think they're starting with that focus. They really want to engage the local community, and then hopefully it'll ripple out.
Are they help funding you? Are they sub?
Not. I don't get paid. I'm doing it purely as a labor of love for the time being.
So how is the CJP is?
They sponsor the site. They sponsor Jewish Boston.
So they paid for the site?
My understanding, yes.
Okay.
Someone did, right?
Someone did.
So you have a benefactor.
Yes. Well, not me personally, but, you know.
And do you sell advertising on the site?
I think the advertising is like if it's an event in town, they'll put up something for it. I'm not sure.
Well, let's take an example. Let's see your sales skills. Let's say Radio Entrepreneurs wanted to be a sponsor of your site.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd
have to put you in touch with the editor. Like I said, I'm just a correspondent, so I really can't represent in that way.
Okay.
But I could definitely put you in touch with the editorial team, and they could direct you.
Sounds like there's some good opportunities there.
I think there are. So since it's sponsored by someone else, are there more Matt Robinsons associated with JewishBoston.com?
Not that I know of.
You're the only writer?
I'm not the only writer. I'm the only Matt Robinson, believe it or not. Even though it's a very pretty common name, but I think I'm.
I was just with a Robinson this week, but it wasn't Matt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, there are a lot of us.
Right.
There are definitely other writers. There are 3 or 4 staff writers who have regular beats. My goal is to sort of achieve that level, but apparently you have to kind of prove yourself with your, you know, how many hits you get. So I'm kind of started at the bottom. They've given me a platform. I'm very grateful, and I'm trying to make the most of it. You know, fortunately, at this point in my career, I can kind of do 1 or 2 pro bono projects, as it were. But the upside for me is that with all the people that I've been able to promote, you know, I'm building my network and I'm building my community. And a lot of times, like I said, I don't do paid work for people I write editorial about, but there have been a number of people who I will write a story about, and then they'll come back and say, can you do our website? Can you do this? Can you do that? And so it gets me business.
That was going to be my next question. So I was going to say, let's say Rich Hershen at Gray, Gray & Gray, Jeffrey Davis at Mage, we're going to hire you. What are you going to, what services are you going to provide?
Yeah, I've really done everything. I mean, I've developed websites from more of the copy and not so much the coding, though I've had to learn by out of necessity again. But really, if it can be written, newsletters, press releases. I mean, my halftime job is I write the newsletter for the American Federation of Teachers in Massachusetts, because I taught in Boston Public for a number of years and made a lot of strong connections in the teaching community, and I still teach. I'm still very much involved with education and youth support. I've done a lot of development work for not-for-profit organizations and press releases for the Boston Pops, for Warner Brothers Records, liner notes for Sony Columbia. I mean, just really, it's just whatever.
So you're really a content developer.
I think so, yeah. I mean, just, you know, my policy is...
That's the best kind of marketer there is.
Yeah, my policy is if I can speak intelligently about it, I'll do it. If not, I'll turn it down, because I really don't want to risk a client's reputation while I'm trying to figure something out. I love to learn new things, but if you said, you know, I need a white paper on nuclear physics by tomorrow, I'd probably say no. If you said I can give you a month of research, I might say yes.
Well, Rich isn't going to ask you for that kind of paper.
Well, you never know.
Rich. Maybe tax code or something like that. Tax, right. Nuclear physics may be more simple. Right.
Something new on the tax code that you could write.
Yeah.
Turnarounds, real estate market.
Sure. Yeah, right. I mean,
That's not what I'm going to ask you, though.
I've really, written about a lot of...
I'm going to ask you to write about leadership and entrepreneurship.
I've been doing that. I've been, right. ghostwriting for some professors at Babson, doing white papers for a couple of internet companies on leadership and how it plays in different spaces. So, I'd be happy to jump on if anyone needs it.
So if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
The easiest thing lately has been my food writing website, which is mats-meals.com. I do a regular spot on another station based on that, and that's really where a lot of people have been finding me. The downside is that a lot of people think I'm only a food writer, which is couldn't be further from the truth, but it is kind of my most visible. I'm reworking my website now to be kind of Matt's Meals and More, so I can put all of my things in one space.
Right.
But the food writing has been great. That kind of started from being a music critic, going to clubs that had restaurants. The managers would say, why don't you come a little early, have dinner, write about the whole experience. And then as I got older and now have children and can't be going out till 2 a.m, I've been transitioning more to restaurants and maybe the opening act instead of staying for the headliner.
Have you blended it together? Have you gone to Jewish food establishments to write about those?
Absolutely. Yeah, I just did a piece on Mamala's. I'm a big fan of Michael's Deli in Brookline. Yeah, there's
been to Ina's?
Yes. Oh, I
Shishuka?
Yep. Yeah, I know Ina very, because I've been doing a lot of work with Boston Public Market.
Right.
Really, really is amazing, right? So you had this idea and you're doing this writing for music things, and as your life's changed and different outside factors pulling at you, you found ways to take your love and your skill set and apply it to meals, to Jewish Boston, to entrepreneurship. That's such an entrepreneurial skill, right? In developing that. And
well, the core for you is writing.
Yeah, writing and then teaching, I think have been the two paths.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, it's great having you on the show. We're going to talk to you after the show about maybe how we can work together and help each other.
Fabulous.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm sitting with Rich Hershen and of Gray, Gray, Gray. We've been talking to Matt Robinson. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.